Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:30 p.m. on Friday, March 22, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juno LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room, please silence your cell phones. Present day, we have Senator Giesel, my Vice Chair, Senator Keel, myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to connect business. Our first and only order of business today is Senate Bill 165, Defense of Public Officers, Ethics Complaints, sponsored by my office. This is the second hearing of this bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Today, the first thing we're going to do is hear invited testimony from former Attorney General John Lindemuth, and then we'll be looking to the will that members to move Senate Bill 165 out of committee. So to start out, Ms. Lindemuth should be on the line. Welcome back to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And if you could identify yourself for the record and please proceed with your remarks on Senate Bill 165.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, Jonna Lindemuth, former Attorney General. I served under Bill Walker from August 2016 to December of 2018. I fully support the passage of Senate Bill 165. The Department of Law regulations that went into effect in November of 2023 are inconsistent with the Executive Ethics Act and the Alaska Constitution. Rather than resolving this issue in the courts, the legislature should clarify that the Attorney General's office may not defend either the Attorney General or the Governor, and that they should be treated as any other state employee who may ask for reimbursement of fees if exonerated from an Ethics Act complaint by adopting this bill. This is consistent with the Attorney General opinion issued by then Attorney General, now Senator, Dan Sullivan on August 5, 2009. In a nutshell, the Executive Ethics Act prohibits using one's position for personal gain, that's Alaska Statute 3952-120A, or using state resources for personal interest, that's subsection 120A3, or from taking action in any matter where the officer has a personal interest, that's subsection 120A4. The Attorney General is the state officer charged with ensuring compliance with the Executive Ethics Act. The Attorney General issues advisory opinions to state employees under Alaska Statute 3952-240. The designated ethics supervisors throughout the state submit quarterly reports to the Attorney General under subsection 260. The Attorney General is the primary prosecutor for any ethics violation. The Attorney General can initiate a complaint based on information in the quarterly report or otherwise known to the Attorney General, that's subsection 310A. And citizens may file complaints directly with the Attorney General under Section 310B. If a hearing is required, the Attorney General is a party and presents charges and has the burden of proving the charges by a preponderance of the evidence. That's Subsection 360C. The only instance where the Attorney General is not the prosecutor is where the allegation is against the Attorney General himself or against the governor, the Attorney General's boss, who can remove the Attorney General without cause. In that instance, the personnel board will hire independent counsel to serve in the Attorney General's usual role because the law recognizes that the Attorney General has a conflict of interest. This conflict of interest precluding the Attorney General from prosecuting the Attorney General or the governor does not mean and should not mean that the Attorney General's office is then free to defend the Attorney General or the governor. There is inherent conflict with the Attorney General's primary role as the main enforcer of the Executive Ethics Act. As noted by the 2009 Sullivan opinion in footnote 46, such a situation could result in the Department of Law arguing a provision of the Act is unconstitutional or should be more narrowly construed than the Attorney General had previously asserted in other proceedings. It could even happen that a complaint is filed against the Attorney General or the Governor and one or more subordinates, and the Attorney General could find himself prosecuting someone in the Governor's office, for example, while the Department of Law is defending the governor on the same allegation. But more importantly, there's a second reason. The regulations authorizing the department to defend the Attorney General and the governor are inconsistent with the overall role of the Attorney General. The Attorney General is the attorney for the whole state, not for any one officer, even the governor himself. and the Attorney General acts through all the assistant attorney generals working under him or her. Stated another way, neither the Attorney General or any other attorney at the Department of Law can serve as the personal attorney for any state employee. Now, in response, the Attorney General may point out that the Attorney General's office regularly defends state employees in court cases. But when defending a tort claim, say, against, say, a commissioner or a corrections officer, the department is defending the actions of that state employee taken within the scope of his or her state employment. That's not usually at issue. Ethics Act cases are different because the nature of the claim is that the state employee, the governor or the attorney general, used his or her position for personal gain or used state resources for a personal interest. The irony here is that the regulations passed by the attorney general's office actually sanctions further additional state assets being used for the attorney general or the governor's personal interest if the allegations are indeed true. Which brings me to my final and third point. The November regulations are inconsistent with only using public monies for a public purpose as required by our Constitution. I want to point out that most ethics complaints, don't make it out of the gate and are summarily dismissed. Subsection 310D allows the Attorney General to dismiss claims before investigation if there aren't even official allegations that would make out a complaint. And even if not summarily dismissed, most never make it to a formal complaint because only those complaints where there is probable cause can go forward, and that's subsection 320. It provides that if after investigation it appears there's no probable cause to believe a violation of this chapter has occurred, the Attorney General shall dismiss the complaint. Now, if there's a probable cause to find that either the governor or the Attorney General violated the Executive Ethics Act by using state resources for a personal benefit, there's simply no public purpose to then use state resources to defend that claim. Just like every other state employee, the Attorney General and the Governor should have to personally defend and seek reimbursement if exonerated. Stated another way, if they are indeed guilty, by definition, the fees are not for a public purpose as required by our Constitution, Article 9, Section 6. The regulations purport to require the Attorney General to certify that defending the governor is in the public interest and require the governor to certify that defending the Attorney General is in the public interest. But making such certifications both have a conflict of interest and not simply because they are both the direct beneficiaries of these regulations. Given that the Attorney General serves at the pleasure of the governor and is his subordinate, the Attorney General does not have the neutrality to make this determination and is conflicted. There is also no sideboard in the regulations as to what constitutes a public purpose. I expect the Attorney General would take the position that defense of any allegation against the Attorney General or the governor satisfies this test, regardless of the merits of the allegation. I want to also point this committee's attention to corporate law as an analogy to when payment of a defense should be allowed. Alaska Statute 1006-490 allows a corporation to indemnify, in other words, pay back, the attorney fees a corporate officer incurs in defending claims if that officer acted in good faith and in the best interest of the corporation. However, by law, a corporation cannot reimburse if a person has been adjudged liable for negligence or misconduct in the performance of corporate duties unless the court finds that indemnification is fair and reasonable to the corporation itself. That's found in subsection 490. This corporate standard for reimbursement is consistent with Attorney General Sullivan's 2009 opinion, which remains good law if Senate Bill 165 is enacted and the regulations are negated. That opinion outlines a four-part test required for indemnification. One, that the public officer is exonerated. Two, that the officer acted within the scope of state employment. Three, that the fees are reasonable. And four, that there's a source of public funds available, in other words, an appropriation. Here, because the regulations authorize the department to defend the Attorney General and the governor, regardless of the merits or outcome of the complaint, and in the face of a probable cause finding, the current regulations allow the state to illegally spend state resources on the defense, even if the governor or Attorney General actually violated the Executive Ethics Act. Senate Bill 165 is needed to cure this, and I urge that it be passed. To the chair, if there are questions, I'm happy to answer any. Otherwise, that concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much, first I'll ask if any members of the committee have questions. I don't see any questions. Thank you very much. I will ask it if you prepared your testimony in a written form, if you wouldn't mind emailing that to the committee, that would be great because we can then put it in the file as well.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate your testimony. And the only other thing I wanted to note, Senator Keel, you had asked at one of the prior hearings about whether or not there was any provisions for legislators to be reimbursed. And we did make an inquiry with the Ethics Committee, and the answer that we got was that the law doesn't make a specific provision for a legislator to be reimbursed for proceedings before the Ethics Committee. And so that silence would suggest there may be some opportunity to seek reimbursement for those fees from legislative counsel as an application. And I think what has periodically happened is there have been occasions when legislators have asked to get reimbursed for legal fees or other things from legislative counsel. And at least in the time I've served on legislative counsel, we've always declined those requests. So I don't think there's any legal provisions to reimburse legislators of their legal fees. I don't think it's exclusively prohibited, but the odds of getting reimbursed seem pretty low. So that's the best answer I could get to the question. Are there any other questions with regard to Senate Bill 165 for members of the committee? Senator Giesel.
Well, Mr. Chairman, since we didn't have a section on all of that, but yeah, just kind of perhaps observations that I need clarification related to. So the reason this bill is needed, the clear statement that the Department of Law may not represent or advise the governor, LG, or other public officer, etc., is because it wasn't clear before, and consequently a regulation was written that allows the representation by the Department of Law. Am I getting this right?
That's correct. And if Ms. Lindemey is still on the line?
Yes, I am.
She may be able to give a more detailed answer than I can, but I think I believe her testimony would be that existing law is consistent with the Sullivan Memorandum and would not support the regulations that have been adopted in this fall by the current Attorney General, that there's an argument that those regulations themselves are illegal, but passage of this law would resolve any doubt.
Okay.
Ms. Lindemey may be able to give a more detailed answer than I just gave.
Through the chair, that's consistent with my testimony. So there were regulations passed in the fall that I believe are inconsistent with the statute. They're certainly not authorized by the statute, but the Attorney General has said that he believes that they are consistent. So if we clarify the law and clarify that indeed that the Attorney General and the governor cannot be defended by the Department of Law.
Okay, so what does the statute currently say that appears to be construed to allow this regulation to be written? Is there any statute?
I'll defer on that to Ms. Lindemuth again as to what the current statute says. I historically, this version of Senate Bill 165 was a product of a related legislation that was introduced in the House when I was serving in the other body. And it was like a two-page or three-page bill. And after debate in committee and discussion and further research, we concluded that we didn't need to say any more than what's right here. We went going through all these layers about X, Y, and Z, and we said, we don't really need to do that. We just say, can't do it. So that's where this comes from. But I would, again, to defer to Ms. Lindemuth about what current statute says.
Yeah, through the chair, there's no language in the current statute that I believe allows these regulations to have been passed.
And I'd note that Senator Kaufman joined us about 3 minutes ago.
Please, so Mr. Chairman, follow up. So there's no statute right now that delineates the role of the Department of Law and attorney, and subsequently the Attorney General, related to defending ethics complaints. There's no statute right now that outlines that.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, so what you're doing with this bill is filling a void.
Yes, I don't have to go through the chair because I am the chair, yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Just trying to understand the why,
yes.
Right, the why of the bill. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
And I'll just make sure that counsel on the line agrees with what I just said.
Yes, through the chair, as I outlined in my testimony, the statute makes the Attorney General the primary prosecutor of the Ethics Act and does not provide for the Attorney General to provide the defense of any Ethics Act claims.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Any other questions? Hearing no others, is our intention move Senate Bill? Senator
Mr.
Giesel.
Chairman, so I just have another question. Why did Attorney General Sullivan write this analysis on August 5th, 2009? Why did he do that?
My understanding was that there were similar discussions when he was Attorney General about could, because I think before that time, there was no provisions for reimbursement for fees for ethics complaints. And I think there were questions, the same question we're addressing today, I think he was trying to decide, can I represent the governor? And the conclusion that he drew is reflected in this memo, which basically says, no, I can't represent the governor, but if the governor hires counsel and prevails, we'll reimburse him. And that was the resolution that's then Attorney General Sullivan reached to the question about how do I deal with ethics complaints, because I think in a general matter, Governor Palin was getting a lot of ethics complaints, and so the concern was how do we, she was saying these are very expensive, and I don't know if they were bankrupting her, but ethics complaints can be a lot of legal fees, and so that was, I think, the answer they came up with.
Okay, thank you. So follow up, Mr. Chairman. So this has never been fully clarified then, and we're now 15 years later or so, and attempting to clarify this with this statute.
And as a history matter, in the current administration, they introduced an earlier proposal to do what happened in November of this year, which was to allow the Attorney General to represent the governor on ethics matters. There were objections to that. Legislation was introduced, and while that legislation was pending, the Attorney General withdrew the regulations. And so that kept us, even with the proposed regulations, we were then in the land of the Sullivan memo. So that was the process that had been in place since 2009. The Attorney General's office, I think it may have been the earlier Attorney General under this administration, but they withdrew the regulations. Once they were withdrawn, we didn't proceed with the legislation. And then this fall, a different version of the same concept was introduced by the current Attorney General.
That is super helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's sort of the presentation by the sponsor. Thank you, which we hadn't had prior. Thank you.
Brief at ease. Back on record, during our off-record discussion, members of the committee asked that we hold the bill for one more, at least one more meeting. So we are going to hold Senate Bill 165 and take it up potentially as early as Monday. Don't know. We would probably bring it up under bills previously scheduled or heard. But we are going to adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is on Monday, March 25th at 1:30 p.m. We will stand adjourned. The time is now 1:50 p.m.